All right. Well, thank you very much. Let's get started with one more thing to say. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. All right, you guys are multilingual. That's pretty good, isn't it? Okay. Ich bin...
Not right now.
Das ist ganz einfach. That's very easy.
Yeah, you're going to have to tap it and then...
Okay. Well, there's a few things that I wanted to cover today. The first thing I wanted to talk about was we all answer to somebody. And I want to reinforce the Word's perspective of that. I feel that our society is far too permissive. And with the democratic viewpoints that seem prevalent, and probably more rightly, the progressive viewpoints that seem more prevalent today, where everybody's equal, there's no losers, there's no winners, those are lies. And it defeats your soul. It destroys the meaning behind why you should even continue doing anything. And the main target of it is that everybody is supposed to be the same. And that's a lie, because God never designed it like that. If God designed it to where everybody was the same, He never would have made it possible for people to get born again. Everybody would just be born again, period. That'd be the end of it. Okay, there never would have been a devil. Lucifer never would have had the right to try to usurp the throne of God. All these progressive ideologies defy God's word. And so you must understand that everybody answers to somebody. Everybody answers to something. And if you preclude yourself from that, you're causing yourself misery. Because in a sense, while you're teaming up with the way of the world, you're walking against the way of God. And as soon as you start walking against the way of God, you bring yourself trouble. And you just can't avoid that. And so this is not a point of contention. This is not a point of debate. These are just facts. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and go ahead and turn there, something very interesting. And this is the first thing that people lose sight of when they actually adopt the progressive ideologies. And more or less the social Marxist mindsets that say everybody's equal, everybody should be exactly the same, nobody should be rich, everybody should have the same, and on and on. They forget one thing. And Paul said it very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The first thing that man loses sight of is the spiritual warfare. They think that everything's carnal. They think that everything's five senses. They think that everything is to be determined by man. They think that man is to imagine everything and to develop everything and to put his stamp of approval on it and then say, thus saith the Lord. And it's just completely wrong. And so the first thing we must remember, for though we walk in the flesh, and every one of us are doing that, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The moment you move away from this position, this belief, this doctrine, this way of life, you enter into calamity. because what you do is not only do you walk after the flesh, you then begin warring after the flesh. And that's a losing battle. And God expects us to walk after the flesh, but he does not expect us to war after the flesh. And the only way that you can be successful in that is by realizing your position and realizing that you have to answer to somebody or something, however you want to put it. And the way you start that progression over again, because I feel that we're all at fault. I feel that we all think that we're due something, that we all think that, wealth is to be distributed and that, you should have your hand out for freebies and that kind of stuff. And that's a fool's way of life. If anybody ever wants you to give something for free, the first thing you want to do is pull your hand back. And you better give it some serious thought, because nothing, and I repeat, nothing in this life is free. The earth is designed that way. You pay for everything you get in this life. Okay? The gift of salvation is free. And the gifts and calling of God are free. But I'm not talking about that stuff. Because when you stick your hand out and somebody wants to fill it, that has nothing to do with God necessarily. And you better be very careful, because there's always strings attached. So you must start changing the way you imagine things. It says in verse 5, casting down imaginations. Well, what are you imagining? Do you think that you should be a progressive? Do you think that you should be given handouts? Are you happy with this healthcare promotion in the country today? My position on that is I pray not, because you have no idea of the enslavement forthcoming. And while it may look like we've lost a battle, we have not lost the war. And I guarantee you that if you continue to do things God's way, we're going to ultimately win. And if it still seems that the tides have turned against God's way of taking care of his people in this land, there's still hope. There's always a way out. There's always another thing that God says, well, this is even more important, and those will be uncovered. Like one of them is to pray for that we could live a peaceful life. Because it just so happens that our country and its freedoms are not comparable to the others. They just aren't. But if you go to another country without freedoms, they still have things they hold on to from the Word, and they still work. And so this is the mindset you must develop into. But casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Well, what things have you allowed into your imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God? You have to be honest about this. You have to look at yourself and determine these things. And then you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You'll never get to that point unless you follow this stuff. That's what it's saying. But at least you could try. But my primary point is that every man answers to somebody or something. And don't think for a minute that you're excluded from that. I'm not excluded. And this is not a point of contention. This is not a subject of debate. This is just fact, okay? And it's reality therapy. So we're in the midst of a very strange progressive movement in our country. And it's very devilish. I see almost no good in it. I see parallels from the Word in it, but I also see great breaches, enormous breaches of logic and of godly consideration. And because of that, I don't side with it. I don't even care for it. And I trust that you're the same way. But the only way you could ever get to the place of what I'm speaking or of where I'm speaking I'm coming from is by knowing what the Word says about these kind of things. like in a Christian family, church, you know, we're a collective society. You know, yes, we redistribute. But whereas, let's say the government, let's say for this healthcare situation, if you don't buy it, they fine you. They're going to get your money one way or the other. Whereas, and that's a collective society too. But in the Christian society, it's free will. You must first have a willingness to give, and then you give out of that which you have. And so there's great contradictions. And the moment you start saying, well, isn't it kind of like Christianity? You've already lost. Your logic is completely unsound then, because you're already saying, I want to believe that stuff. And you can't want to believe that stuff. You have to understand that we want to believe the word and only the word. And then we pray for the things that God says to pray for. You know, we're all souls. Every one of us are walking souls. When you walk in this world, you walk with your fears, your greeds, your selfishnesses, your passions, your desires, your abundances, your everything. And they're all of your own contrivance. You're responsible for every single thing that you do. Every word that you say, every feeling that you have, every act that you do, you are 100% responsible. And so that's why it contradicts the handout, to have your hand just stuck out and say, fill me, fill me, fill me. What's wrong with God? We sang that today, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You better redirect your hand. It should be going up to heaven. And so we're in the midst of a crisis. You know, they say that change requires crisis, because then people recognize that, oh, something has to be done. It wakes them up. You know, it's kind of like kicking them in the butt and saying, okay, now you got to go do something. And they go, oh, I guess I can now. And before they were asleep, you know. And the Word talks about that too, slumbering. Okay? But is that really something that we ask for, a crisis? This is a manufactured crisis that the progressives are trying. And I firmly believe that their primary attempt worldwide is redistribution of wealth. They want to take from you and give it to somebody else. They want to steal from you. And they're thieves. Now, it makes me think of the German, John 10:10, their Dieb, komm nur, the thief. They call him a Dieb. We call it the devil, but the devil is a thief. That's my point. And the devil, the thief, comes not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. And any aspect of that portrays the reality of that verse. The thief cometh not before to steal. You want him to steal from you, then don't stand up. You don't want him to steal from you, then cast down every imagination, and you bring your life in accordance with God's word. This is not open for debate. Every man answers to somebody or something, and you can't preclude that. You don't walk above the law. The Bible is so clear on that. And so what that means to us as Christians, free will Christians, is that we have to order ourselves properly. And I'll give you an example, like in Ephesians chapter 5. Everybody answers to somebody. And if you think that you don't, you've already lost. This is not a matter open for discussion. You can't just go running around life doing whatever the heck you want to do and thinking that it's fine. I know the progressive society in which we live dictates that. And it's a shame. It's an absolute shame that punishment is not rendered when it's due. For instance, in the school systems, boy, if it isn't prevalent in the school systems, then it's non-existent. But the fact is that it's ever prevalent in the school systems, where the teachers aren't even allowed to teach anymore. They're not even allowed to correct anymore and to discipline anymore. And to say, you're not smart, you don't study, you get your butt at that desk and you start studying, and then go give this child a reward over here because this child is excelling. They can't even do that anymore. They can't even use red ink anymore. They have to use purple ink because red's offensive. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on in our society today. And you really have to think about it in terms of how does it affect you? What kind of mindset do you have? Do you think that you're above the law? Do you think that you don't have to answer to anybody? I'm telling you, it ruins our children's souls. It defeats them. When they say that you can't be a winner anymore, Mr. Brown. You can't be a winner anymore. You can't be a winner anymore. What do you think, if you believe that, what do you think that would do to your soul? It would crush it. But that's what they do. That's exactly what they do. Everybody's a Special Olympian. Everybody. Nobody has the right to excel. Nobody. And if you do, you're ostracized for it. Teachers in particular. Boy, if there isn't a place to find it, I'm just amazed at what you find in the school systems. You should look there and you should see this. A teacher that wants to excel and to do what's right, she's ostracized. She's burned. Yeah, but that's the way everywhere. What about work in your jobs? You know, you want to excel, then the other people look at you like you're a fool, you know? What about this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Aren't you looked at as an absolute derelict for submitting to your husband? Other women frown upon you for doing that. They think that you're ill. They think that you're sick. This is not a point of discussion for discussion. This is a fact. This is not open for debate. This is the way life is. But you have to look at yourself. What's in your imaginations from the progressiveness of our society? And where are your challenges? The women's lib movement, for instance, has destroyed women. It's amazing what it's done, but a man can't go find a feminine woman anymore. They're all too tough. If I was in this society today, I probably wouldn't get married. I wouldn't want to marry a man. I'm not interested in it. I want to marry what God made. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ever forget what a woman's supposed to be like, go read Proverbs 31. Oh, it's just amazing. The liberalism is just sickening what it's done. But my point is, you have to look into your own imagination. What progressiveness do you have in there? Or you men? What's the difference? How much of a woman have you turned into? Is not that an honorable question? Because of the macho man aspect and kowtowing to the liberalness of the woman, the manliness of the woman, to where the woman has to have all the rights now. Not all the rights, you know what I'm talking about. And this, if somebody listens to this teaching, they're going to get mad, I bet. But you got to think about this. I just ask you to think about it, okay? And ask yourself some questions. Why not? Because if you don't reflect inwardly, you'll never figure out where you're at. But isn't it your responsibility? The Bible says it is. You're supposed to look at yourself. You're supposed to analyze yourself once in a while. Take a checkup from the neck up. But men have the same issue because men are so angry that they can't find real women anymore, generally speaking, that they just have given up. I mean, why even bother with it? Because if they can't find a loving, kind, pleasant woman that would subject, what's the purpose of it? Why even bother with it? Because it won't work. And so it's interesting that these innate bits of knowledge drive man. the marriage rates, the kid production rates, they're way down. And these are all things that the upcoming generations are going to have to deal with. But if I was, you know, in the market, so to speak, younger in the market, I probably wouldn't get married. Why would I bother with it? Man, she'd have to be awful dang special. She really would. I would never be able to find one like this woman over here. I've never seen a woman like Lynn. Well, Dulce and my mom, of course. But it's almost impossible to find a woman that actually does what God says to do. What does that do to man? What does it do to you? You know, you blame yourself. You look at yourself and go, there must be something wrong with me. Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you something. There's something wrong with society. And there's something wrong with most of the women out there to where they absolutely refuse to be a God-fearing woman. Period. Because why? Because they're ostracized. They're cast down. They're made to feel and look like a fool. That's what happens anytime somebody rises up. Everybody else cast them down. I've gone through that my whole life. I've almost never been given the right to excel. Oh, I've taken my rights, but I've never just been given that. I remember when I was in the Coast Guard, and I just immediately rose to the top. They wanted me for everything in boot camp, and I had two people try to kill me. They couldn't stand it. And that was just typical. And I have people that are, I know people to this day that are so jealous of my life that they just can't stand it. And I forget all about it. I'm just numb to it. But my wife reminds me. She tells me because she sees it. You know, women's intuition, they got to figure it out. I'm pretty dumb to it. But I know it's a fact, though. So I want you guys to understand that it's not you in terms of why it's such a challenge to find a good woman. But I also want you all to understand that you answer to somebody. You can't preclude that. You don't walk above the law. Every man answers to somebody or something. And so this is the Christian mindset. The progressive mindset is that you answer to no one. You do whatever you want to do. Do you know that only after a short 2 years in the California school system, a teacher basically can't be fired? They have something like 30,000 teachers and they fired 21 last year. And I guarantee you that the ones they did fire, like there was this one that had cocaine and marijuana and stuff in school, in his desk, and he didn't even get fired. You've got to be so bad. And so these are just amazing statistics, but nonetheless, the point is that people believe they don't answer to anybody. And the world treats them as if they have the right. And that they don't have to obey any laws. They don't have to. Everybody's a winner. I mean, nobody's a loser. Which way do you want to look at it? Oh, it sounds good. Everybody's a winner. Yeah, that's great. But that means nobody's a loser. That's where it turns sour. And I'm telling you something. You've already lost if you believe that. You are a loser if you believe that. Because you've already gone off the deep end. You've gone down the wrong track. And you will then be responsible for destroying people's souls. I would never tell my boy or my girls that they're all winners, that they're not losers. I would challenge them. I go, well, if you're doing the wrong thing, you better face up to the fact that you could dang well lose. And if you don't like that, maybe you need to change. But you don't hear that kind of stuff anymore. Oh, man, I'm a bad parent for that one. So when it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You know, there's this interesting dichotomy that takes place, and we're all aware of it. It's called conflict. That when and where we allow conflict to exist, we're already defeated. That's my personal point of view. It's a dichotomy that exists. It's called conflict. And when and where we allow conflict to exist, we've already lost. Start with your mind. What have you allowed into your heart? If you've allowed progressive thoughts like you're all equal, share the wealth, let me pay for everybody else, even though I don't have the money and I don't want to. If you've allowed things like that into your heart, and then yet your mind is going, but how could I possibly do that? How could society do that? How could they strap, like for instance with this healthcare stuff, how could they strap future generations with trillions of dollars of debt? You are a walking dichotomy. You have embodied conflict because your conscious mind and your subconscious mind or your heart are at war with each other. Oh, that doesn't make sense? How could you possibly be one of the greatest pitchers in the world in baseball and expect to do a great job during a game when you're at odds with your catcher? You and your catcher are fighting. You can't have synergy. It's not going to work. You will be held back. Your game will be no good. Something will happen. Anytime you have conflict within an organization, you can't expect success. There will be defeat. There's like bombs blowing up here and there. And it's like walking in a minefield. You've got to subject yourself properly. Each person, you have to assume the role of subjection because God says to be like that. And if you don't do that, then it ends up being trouble, trouble for everyone. It says the church is subject unto Christ. Well, is it? Well, His church is. You know, one of the things that gets lost, and I brought this up earlier, is, and I'll say it in a different way, there is a devil. Okay? Even though we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But if you don't bring your imaginations in line with the Word, you're warring after the flesh, and you're miserable. This is not a point open for debate. This is just fact, just the way it is. And so we need to understand that we are to subject ourselves where we're to subject ourselves. I'll give you another one. Turn to Romans chapter 13. This is mind therapy today. If you ever want to release your full potential as a superabundant Christian, these are things that you really, really have to understand. Stephanie was having some struggles in her college math and wondering why she wasn't doing so well on her tests. And her mom pointed out to her that while she was taking the practice exams, she couldn't get away with just doing one or two questions. She actually had to go through the whole thing and make sure she understood the problems inside out. What's the point? The point is, you must understand. There are things that unless you understand, you can't implement. And I'm talking about you getting to the place where you can release mental potential. Your own creativity, your own abilities to see your own success. If Jesus was right, then this is right. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But doesn't that seem like only half the story? He came, but what's missing? How they're going to actually do it. And that's the big part. Well, he's already come and gone, but you're still here. Your whole life now is to fill in the second part of that equation. How do you do it? And that's where your imaginations and the things that you put into your heart and the way you direct your steps come into play. Everybody answers to something. And even if it's something as simple as making a decision and seeing it come to pass, it still qualifies. Everybody answers to something. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. They're not ordained by man, and they must be powers that be. People like to take this verse and say it applies to every minister there is, and that's just not true. First of all, it's got to be a power that be. Second of all, it's got to be an exercise power, one that is in operation. It's not just somebody that's got a big mouth, but there's got to be spirit behind it. Let every soul, this is a soul matter. And that's why I say you guys are all living souls. You're walking souls. You are embodied souls, every one of you. You deal with your life, your pains, your pleasures, your selfishnesses, your greeds, your abundances, your everything. You deal with it. That's the nature of life. The last thing you want is somebody come along and telling you how to do that. Except for the word, that is. Because every man answers to something. Maybe we should answer to the word. But you at least need to look within yourself. You need to look deep within yourself. And ask the question, am I contaminated by progressivism? Am I contaminated by socialism? Am I contaminated by the strange doctrines of our current day society? Remember I said the only way you could really answer that is if you know what the word says. And you know a lot of what the word says. And I gave you an example with this healthcare system that's going to enslave future generations to the tune of trillions and trillions of dollars. What a great example. I said it's a collective system, but it's not a collective Christian system, which is where I have the problem, because in their system, they force you to pay. And they fine you if they don't. They tax you. And in the Christian system, it's free will. If you have to give, you give. If you don't have to give, you don't. But you don't lie about it. And you don't not do it just because you're lazy or whatever. Or you made up some excuse that talks you into it and cheats you out of so abundantly reap. Or so bountifully, rebountifully. But you see the differences between a Christian collective system and the Stalinist, Marxist collective system? There's a huge difference. So I've given you at least one example, but I know you could come up with more. I even talked about the teachers, how that anytime somebody rises up, they're ostracized. Well, have you been ostracized? What if you really have a good idea and you want to take it to the top and you want to see it materialize? How many people would try to stop you? How many people would stop you where you live? How many people would stop you where you work? How many people would stop you where you play? Try it. Take your good idea and see how many people discount it. I'm trying to do things in my life to excel. And one of which is with physical athletic development. I particularly enjoy that. Well, I had the unfortunate experience of somebody telling me after they analyzed what I was doing and they know me quite well, Well, I'm just waiting for you to fall. When you fall, it's going to be pretty hard. And I at first I thought, wait a minute, this is a friend. Okay, so there could be some good in this. Let me think. I thought for a couple of days, actually. Probably thought too much about it. Should have just turned my wife on him. But then it dawned on me that, what that person said was wrong. And so I went and told that person, I says, after thinking, pondering, deep thinking, what you told me about falling, and this person reaffirmed that, I said, it's very obvious that we march to the beat of a different drummer. My drummer's going a whole different direction than yours. And at that moment in time, it caused a breach in our lives, and I really don't even care to be around that person anymore. But I didn't feel that way before. I had passion, I had desire, it was exciting, it was fun, kind of, I guess. But I was probably blinded somehow. But anyway, I try to excel. And what about you? I know you go through this stuff. I know you went through it, Dulce, when you were talking about the person cleaning the windows up there and all that, and you have to confront because the other people are trying to steal. And I know you guys go through it at school and everything that you try to do. And I know you go through it in your sports and in your desires to excel. It doesn't matter. You too. Every single one of you guys. This is why I think it's time for a checkup from the neck up and for you to... Hey, you're not going to stop those people, but you can redirect your steps, right? And you can definitely determine how you're going to think, but especially you can bring your thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ and subject yourselves in the right way to the right authority. And so I think that Romans 13 speaks loudly. Let every soul, you're all walking souls, your souls embodied the way God designed. But if you want your soul to thrive, you better do the next part. Be subject. And if you're not subject, if you think that you can just do as you damn well please, spiritually speaking, man, oh man, you got off the bus a long, long time ago. And I feel sorry for you. You know, that's something about me. Even in the midst of wolves, I still look to see, is there something right here? Is that person walking with God somehow? I do that. I always give somebody the benefit of quite a few doubts. Always. And I don't tell myself to do that. It just happens. And maybe something a long, long time ago grew up inside of me along this line of subjection. I'm sure it did, because I don't have to tell myself to be like that. I don't think I could be ahead of this ministry and put up with the stuff I've got to put up with, spiritually speaking, without having something almost innate. I know it's not innate, meaning born with it, because God said to do it, and if he said to do it, that means people don't do it. It's just like the commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why is it a commandment? Because people aren't going to do it otherwise. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Why is it a commandment? Because people aren't going to make other people happy and love them. They're not going to do it. People aren't going to do this either, unless they're told to. But after being told to, then can't the person make a decision? And then cannot the person change their lifestyle to where they're always like that? Sure. Well, that's what's supposed to happen. Then you take all the battle out of it, and it turns into a pretty great relationship. Well, there's no power but of God, and the powers that be, if they be, are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. You're judged already. So you've seen it with wives. Obviously with the husband, he's subject unto Christ. The church is subject unto Christ. You're supposed to be subject unto God in terms of casting down imaginations. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of subjectivity in the Word. That's probably another teaching. I do want to read one other verse, and I'll probably end with this one, Luke chapter 10. But I've showed you some pretty neat things to get your mind thinking along these lines. I just pray that when you go home today, that you don't fall back in your same groove if you have progressive leanings. I pray that you take a stand and understand that our challenge in life today is against the very progressive frameworks that are trying to remold our society. It's not about parties, Republicans, Democrats, independents. I won't say I'm a Republican, Democrat, or independent. I could care less. I will hunt down the right people that are completely non-progressive. And if they're not, I won't vote. I will only vote for the total non-progressives, because that's how I believe. And I pray that you think like that. You know, there was another verse. I read it. Yeah, I read that one in 2 Corinthians where, I got to read. Don't turn there. I'll go there. Because this is where this fits. We're in 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 6. It says, "And having it in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." It's along those lines. To revenge against disobedience. It's a mindset. Where's your mindset? You know, where's your gumption? Where's your character? Is it strong? Is it weak? Is it clear? Or is it fuzzy? What's your character like today? You know, are you willing to say what needs to be said, to do what needs to be done, knowing that you're probably going to get slapped down, or at least somebody's going to raise their hand on you? But where's your character? Who cares if somebody slaps? Who cares if somebody yells? What does that even matter? Does that change the truth? No. But the real question is, what's your character like? The question is not what you see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. The question is understanding the spiritual warfare and knowing that those affronts coming your way are designed to be against the very fabric of God's Word. Now, that's kind of like saying, I love family, although in a progressive society, screw the family. But I love family, and I've got kids, so if somebody comes and wants to take my kids away and put them in slavery, or somebody wants to come and just walk into my house and take whatever they want, that either I'll let them or I won't. Now, if you were in a situation like that, what would you do? Are you going to let people encroach, come onto your property, take things from you? Because we live in a progressive society and everybody deserves everybody else's things. That's what they say. So that's in the five senses realm. But spiritually speaking, what about you holding on to God's word? And somebody comes and says, well, you have to give me all this now. And then you say, well, now, wait a minute. The Bible says that it's got to be free will. Otherwise, you're stealing from me. What's the difference? So my question is, where's your character at? What kind of character do you have? And what kind of character are you willing to develop? Are you just so afraid of the sense knowledge stuff? We don't war against the flesh, though, do we? But are you afraid of getting slapped down? Isn't that the flesh war? Are you afraid of somebody yelling at you? Isn't that the flesh war? Or are you more concerned and more serious, more seriously committed to standing upon what's right? To not only believe what's right, to not only seek the kingdom of God, but to follow after it and proclaim it when and where needed, regardless of the circumstances. You don't see the birds fighting it. The squirrels don't fight it. They just go out and take what they need. The earth provides it. They struggle. They've got to build a nest, protect themselves. They've got to pick the good nut instead of the bad nut. I mean, they got work. What about you? So I think that this is definitely in alignment with having a readiness to, what does it say? Revenge all disobedience. Well, in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There's many points in this verse. Yes, the spirits are subject unto us. Let's not forget that. We have dominion over everything. And even though it might look like we lost a battle, it doesn't mean we lost the war. You'll never lose the war. And don't be so narrow-minded and nearsighted that you are farsighted that you think, oh, this is the only war that I'll ever have. Oh, you'll have plenty more. This is just one thing. Okay? Be willing to take a stand. Be willing to submit. Do your best to submit in the areas that you're supposed to. There's not a lot. I should teach you on that. There's not a lot, though. I think I got how many verses on submit? 11 verses on submit, actually subject, and they're not even all about you. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 things that you just subject yourself to as a Christian. Oh, come on, guys. That's just too easy. But the reason I wanted to teach that was so that you could get a different perspective, so that you could understand that maybe we do need to think about the spiritual warfare. Maybe we do need to look within ourselves and analyze to see if the enemy has made their camp inside our hearts. And if so, to cast down those imaginations and to rebuild, bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. And then taking a stand from that moment forth. And understanding, because understanding is success. If you don't know how to do the math problems, all of them, inside and out, you're never going to do that good on the test. And I know the progressives say the tests are bad, and we certainly won't use red ink. In fact, there's a lot of schools that just don't even give tests anymore. The parents drop the kids off at school, kids go in, they shut the door, the teachers go to the one side of the room and cry, and the students do all the teaching. Even 8 years old, they don't even know what the heck they're doing. But see, that's the progressive society. And my kids complain about it because they say, well, the teacher doesn't teach anything. They just get up there and talk about some stupid TV show. And then they give a test that the kids can't pass. It's just amazing what we're going through. But isn't it worth a little introspection? Take a look deep within, introspection, and ask yourself. I think it's only right as a Christian. Okay?